Dan Rosh Hashanah, which is a day of judgment. As the verse states, you shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Yish'i, my salvation is on Yom Kippur, when he saves us and forgives all our sins. The Midrash speaks more in terms of the resolution of sin on the part of the Almighty, though my light and my salvation refers and applies also to our activity. The tshuva of they shall confess their wrongdoing, the hitvadu et avunam, which is mentioned in Bamidbar, is of correcting individual sins, is a tshuva of light. There is illumination and recantation, and the sin is corrected. That is the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. If I want to add, given what we're going to look at in a few minutes, Rosh Hashanah is the tshuva almost of perfection. It's the tshuva where we don't need a special redemption. We don't need special rachmanis. We've corrected everything. We come to Rosh Hashanah and we are already, so to speak, pure. And the light is the light of that sense. And of course, it fits in very nicely with the famous Gemara that Rabbi Blau mentioned as well, that on Rosh Hashanah, the three books are open and tzaddikim are nechtamim l'chaim la'altar. The righteous are, right? If you reach Rosh Hashanah and a status of righteousness, you've totally done everything right. You've corrected all your mistakes. You've crossed all your T's. You've dotted all your I's. So then you're immediately given the stamp of approval, and you can retire, and you can spend the rest of the week at the beach. You don't need Aseret Yemei Tshuva. You don't need Yom Kippur. On the other hand, on Yom Kippur, we strive for a measure of reconciliation with the Almighty. We understand that Rosh Hashanah may be for tzaddikim, but for most of us, we're not tzaddikim. We have not achieved the pinnacle through the course of the year or through Elul of reaching a status where we can say before God, we're pure. We are at best beinonim, and what we are striving for on Yom Kippur, we know we're not going to be able to perfect everything. We know that we're not going to be able, but we hope that in certain areas we will get better and that we will achieve a measure of reconciliation with God, even if we're not perfect and even if not all the I's and T's are crossed. A salvation. That's what Yeshua means. Hashem orivi yish'i. We need to be saved even when the light is not complete. Indeed, you are, says Yeshayahu, a God who conceals himself. El mistater. But you're a Moshiach. At times, even a concealed God is a savior. When due to our incessant sin, illumination of light are not yet our light, we're not perfectly there, yet due to God's mercy, salvation for which we pray and yearn is indeed available, provided our prayer, our yearning, our striving are present and sincere. And this is something that Rav Aaron loved to come back to, the famous machloket in the Gemara, the Mishnah in Yuma. There's a famous machloket between Rebbe and Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi argued that Yom Kippur is mechaper, even without teshuvah, even without repentance. And the Chachamim say you require repentance. In the Gemara, there's a dispute between Rabbi Yehuda Anasi and the sages as to whether Yom Kippur atones only with teshuvah or out with teshuvah. Normally, this is understood to mean that for Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Yom Kippur is a day of pure grace, chesed, affecting atonement even though we are totally unworthy, and even if we have not performed tshuva. It atones for those who perform tshuva, and for those who do not, it simply falls as the rain, as the manna from heaven. According to the sages, Yom Kippur is a day that relates to merit, to worth. If we have made the effort, the day atones. But the truth, I think, is different. While the Mishnah in Yuma indeed speaks of Yom Kippur atoning along with tshuva, and the Gemara says that the Mishnah is to be understood according to the sages, the Gemara in Shavuos, which is parallel, and the Brisa in Toras Konim, both say the Yom Kippur atones for those who are returning. It doesn't say, le'elu sheshavu, o asu tshuva, o im hatshuva, like the Mishnah. It says, la shavim, to those who are in the process of returning, who are in the process. That means that according to the sages, Yom Kippur is a day of grace and not just a response to merit. It is indeed a gift. And it's given to us not only when we are fully accomplished, but when we are fully striving. We receive it not when we have attained perfection, like Rosh Hashanah, but when we aspire for it and recognize its worth. In order to attain the atonement of Lifnei Hashem Titaru, we seek to rid ourselves of impurity and acknowledge what our ultimate duty. We present ourselves for trying qualitative to intensify our connection to Him by focusing on specific areas. And Rav Aaron continues with this idea in a Hebrew drasha, which has not yet been translated. And there too, he talks about ha-hebet ha-musari, the moral perspective of tshuva, l'umat zot kechol shemidabrim al ha-moked ha-dati, the religious aspect of tshuva. And he argues that when we focus on the religious aspect of tshuva, of restoring our relationship with God, kechol shemitmakdim b'shikum marechat ha-yichasim im boreinu, when we're talking about reestablishing that bond between us, our relationship between us and our Creator, hazika ben tshuva l'tfila yeshira upshuta yoter. It's that place where we're talking about being in front of God, connecting to God, where tshuva and tfila naturally come together much more. And in that sense, it's more about repairing relationship than focusing on this individual sin and that individual sin. And he suggests again, yitachein shakfeilut hazu, this duality, tshuva that's musari, moral tshuva, and tshuva that's dati, tshuva that focuses on individual sins, and tshuva that focuses on the relationship to God more than any specific sin, is the difference, mishtakefet, reflects itself, bapa'ar, in the distinction, shebein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. It reflects itself. Rosh Hashanah, and here he goes back to a theme, Rosh Hashanah, that Rabbi Soloveitchik and others, and Rav Huttner, Rosh Hashanah hu yom shel briyah v'hatchala, ze hayom tchilat masecha kilshon ha-tfilah. Va'anu chotrim lachzor bo lo'olam ha'ideali, shekodem lachet. So basically, Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of creation, it's the day which represents going back to before sin, before that mistake of the afternoon of Yom HaShishi, where Adam and Eve lived in their paradisical reality in Gan Eden, before when they were in total harmony with God and they made no mistakes. So in that world, that's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is when you're the tzaddikim gemur. Rosh Hashanah is when you've achieved, you've checked off all of the mistakes that you've made. You've corrected them. You've appeased all the people that you've hurt. You've talked to all the people that you've sullied. All the things. Av sheyesh ba Rosh Hashanah gam misarim yehudiyim yichudiyim anu halo mevarchim midabrim bebirkat zichronot brito shalom im avoteinu. We're talking about an ideal world, v'chotmim zocher habrit. Rosh Hashanah, even though we talk a little bit about zocher habrit with Avraham, nukuda merkazit Rosh Hashanah hu malchuto ha-universalit shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about universal, melech al kol ha-aretz. Gam birchat zichronot atzma potachat b'yesod universal. It opens with a universal. Ata zocher ma'ase olam ufoked kol yitzurei kenem. You remember all of history. Ata zocher et kol ha-mifal. Tshuvato shel Rosh Hashanah choteret l'shakem olam chote ulachzir oto l'gan Eden shelifnei achet. Chadei shameinu kekedem. It's before the sin. L'umat zot, in contrast, Yom HaKippurim ha-mabat shone l'chalutin. Yom zeh mitzayen et ha-tshuva shebikvot chet ha-egel. When was Yom Kippur introduced into the world? Yom Kippur doesn't exist in the primordial world of Gan Eden, of creation, of God's kingship. Yom Kippur is introduced into the world of humanity after they fall in the sin of the golden calf. it's introduced with the second luchot. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun, erech apayim v'ram chesed v'emet. When human beings, Am Yisrael, it cannot live up to the covenant of the Aseret HaDibrot. As many people have noted, the Yud Gimel Midot are parallel to the Aseret HaDibrot. In the Aseret HaDibrot, God is an El Kana. Notzer Chesed Lo'ohavai Ulishomrei Mitzvotai. In the Aseret HaDibrot, God is a zealous God. There is no mention of Rachamim. In the Aseret HaDibrot, God gives Chesed to those who keep His covenant. Lo'ohavai Ulishomrei Mitzvotai. But after the second Luchot, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduces the theme of repentance and Slicha u'mechila, God is not just an El Kana, He's an El Rachum v'chanun. God doesn't just give chesed to Ohavai v'shomrei mitzvah. God is Erech Apaim v'rav chesed. He is rav chesed to everybody. So it's a totally different relationship. And here again, he uses that medrash that we saw. Ala pasuk l'David Hashem ori v'ishi katvu chazal ori Rosh Hashanah Yom Shel Or Universali Hachuter Loto Or Haganush Shel Sheshimei Bereishit. Rosh Hashanah represents going back to the primordial light of creation, where man and human beings are perfect. Yom Kippurim Loto Yomashal Itgalut Haintimit L'Rosh Rabbeinu Mitoch Ha'anan. Yom Kippur represents the revelation, the intimate relationship to the Jewish people, to Moshe. Shel Yeshua Nigleit Mitoch HaChoshech V'Ha'alata. Of a redemption that emerges from the deep darkness and the choshech and the alata, the arafel, all of the shadows. Lo hateva umeid. It's not creation, elahit galuta altivit. Revelation which is extra, which is metaphysical. Lo ha'enashut kula, not all of humanity, ela kneset Yisrael. Lo trufakan ela Yeshua, redemption in their full sense. So this is something that Rabbi Lichtenstein develops. And this, of course, is also what he talks about, the two britot, the brit of Avraham and the brit of Yom Kippur. On Rosh Hashanah, we talk about the zechut avot that we have. And this is the zechuyot that we have, that we've accrued. These are the zechuyot that we've accrued, that Am Yisrael has reached because of what it's done, either because of what we have done or because our forefathers done. However, on Yom Kippur, we focus on the Shlosh Esrei, the Brit of Shlosh Esrei Midot. V'chanoti et asher achon, v'chanoti et asher achon. God gives chanina, grace, even to those who are not worthy. And he says the same thing in terms of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shtei abritot halalu, brit avot, brit yud gimel midot, omdot shteim b'mokei todatenu b'chol yimei teshuvah. But each of them, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we mentioned both, but the emphasis is different. But Rosh Hashanah Brit Avot Hu Shenimtza B'Mokeid. So we talk about the universal, and even when we talk about the unique relationship God to the Jewish people, we focus on the Zechut Avot. We talk about the Akedah. We talk about Zocher HaBrit. B'Yod Yom Kippur Madgish Yoter at Brit Shlosh Esrei. Shaleh Anav Chozrim B'Slichot. Okay? And in that context, we say, lo b'chesed v'lo b'masim banu l'fanech on slichos, which we don't say on Rosh Hashanah, we say, chedalim u'churashim dafaknu d'latecha. Avinu malkeinu, which again, I mentioned at the beginning, in many sidurim, they didn't say it on Rosh Hashanah. But on Yom Kippur, we repeat, except this year because of Shabbos, we're going to repeat, Chaneinu v'aneinu kein ba'nu masin, asei imanu tzedaka v'hoshienu. V'yom ha-kippurim anu omdim mol ribon ha'olam l'lo ashlayot u'mevakshim enu matnat chinam. We stand before the Ribon HaShalom without any illusions, and we simply ask for that. And then again, ha'hevdel hazeh olem et tzivyonam ha'shoneh shel shnei ha'moadim. This reflects the difference between the two days. Rosh Hashanah hu yom ha'kashur by Yitzira u'babriya. It's a day that's connected to creation. U'b'lashon ha'tfilah zeh ayom tchilat ma'asecha. Yom shebo knes Yisrael mamlicha b'komah zkufa. It's a day that Am Yisrael, it coronates God as king. with an upright, we stand before God as tzaddikim. B'yom ze'anu shavim l'tom harishoni, we go back to the original innocence. Shalifnei chet va'avon, me'ein tabula raza. Mitoch ha'optimiyut harishonit hazot, anu shu'avim liyot kaviyachol shutafim l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. We become partners with God in creation. U'mitoch tchushat ha'itchadshut, and out of that sense of optimistic renewal, anu muchanim lihimadeid b'midat hadin. That's why Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Adin. Yom Adin is a day that we can be judged and emerge whole because we've already perfected ourselves. This is the tshuva of the tzaddikim. It's the tshuva when, yes, we can be judged b'midas hadin, and we can be found innocent. As the Ramban noted, very famous Ramban, Rosh Hashanah hu yom din berachamim. Rosh Hashanah is a day of din that is tempered with mercy. Ba'od Yom Kippur, the Ramban notes, hu yom shel rachamim bedin. It's a din, it's a day that's primarily rachamim with a little bit of din for the people who don't want to show any movement towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. Av she'adin v'rachamim urim zeh bazeh, hadagesh b'shnei yamim shoneh. B'yom ha'kippurim einenu roim atzmenu b'tchilat haderech, ela la'achar ha'mashberim. On Yom Kippur, we're not at the beginning, we're at the end of a long road with a lot of crises and a lot of obstacles, and that we've fallen. Shavahem nitkalnu l'orka, that we have found and confronted throughout. Mitoch ha'chet v'avon anu ponim l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, and mention the 13 midot harachamim. And this is after the Chet Ha'egel. Okay? This is what's going on Yom Kippur. In fact, and that's Yom Kippur. On the other hand, and again, he quotes Rebbe and the Averot with tshuva or not tshuva. And fundamentally, that's how we should view Yom Kippur. It's a day of primarily of repairing our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than necessarily focusing on every individual sin. And it's a day of it's a day of grace, of chesed, of aser simei, of rachamim, rather than a yom hadin. Now, the big question that lies behind this, or not the big question, but at least when I first was confronted with these ideas, it is a little bit problematic that certainly the Baal HaMachzor, as much as this is a beautiful distinction, the Baal HaMachzor did throw in all the Al-Chaits on Yom Kippur. And the Al-Chaits seem to focus on individual sins very expansively. So you could say, because, on Yom Kippur, we are enumerating the fact that we haven't been able to overcome, and by Rosh Hashanah we weren't able to connect ourselves to all these things and perfect all these sins, and so now we simply ask for God's mercy. And one could read that as the progression of the day. And it's interesting that Rabbi Lichtenstein does read Yom Kippur in that way, which is the last part I want to do today. In an interesting tshuva drasha about different kinds of sins, you listen to how he talks about vidui. So historically, we encounter two types of confession. The Gemara in Yuma speaks of various formulae of vidui. Marzutra said, you only have, if you do not say aval anachnu chatanu, that's all you have to say on Yom Kippur. You don't have to enumerate any sins. Bar Chamudai said, once I stood before Shmuel, who was sitting, and when the prayer leader came up and said, Aval anachnu chatanu, he rose. We learn from here, those words are the quintessential vidui. Aval anachnu chatanu, that's it. Now, today, however, we have expanded the simple confession into entire aleph bet of sin. Ashamnu, bagadnu, gazalnu. The Gaonim added even more. Interesting. What we have is al-chait is not originally from the Gemara. It's a Gaonic invention. I think already here you see the notion that This is not necessarily the ideal vidui. The Gaonim added a double al-chait of al-chait, concluding. And if that isn't enough, some people have taken each line of al-chait and elaborated much further. The Rambam's vidui was enough for the Gemara. That should probably say the Gemara's vidui was enough for the Rambam. That's probably what it should say. But Rabbeinu Yonah's vidui enter the mainstream of our life. And yet, that experience of Yom Kippur is itself differentiated. Broadly speaking, we stand with the Yom Kippur with a dual charge. We stand with the Rambam trying to eradicate the roots, to eliminate the tendency and desire. Reciting the confession of Al, we confront where we are and where the Almighty and try to reach out to Him. It's about relationship. Then we detail our sins that we want to make sure we go, and therefore on Yom Kippur we engage in a highly religious enterprise and a highly moral enterprise. But then you see where Rav Aaron's heart lies. But at the end of the day, we come to Ne'ilah. We change our tune a bit. In the first four prayer services of Yom Kippur, we say Aval Anachnu Chatanu, and then we go through the whole list of Al-Chait. However, as dusk approaches, when the conclusion of the day and its atonement is on the horizon, we turn to God and say, Master of the universe, we have been working ourselves all year, and especially since the beginning of Elul, weighing and measuring our sins. And all of our Yom Kippur, we have been striving and groping. We've been doing moral tshuva. But now at the end of the day, we have only one thing left, and that is to cast our hopes and prayers. We look to you after we have gone the extra mile, and maybe it isn't enough. It is too late in the day. At Ne'ilah, we do not say Al-Chait. We content ourselves with saying Aval Anachnu Chatanu. We do so in the hope that we have done, that what we have done over the course of the year, we have done during Elul, during Slichot, during the first four prayers, trying to right wrongs as best we could, trying to examine, makes us worthy. We've been engaged in moral tshuva, but now we look for something else, for tahara, for purification. Lifnei Hashem titaru. On this day, we want to rehabilitate our relationship with God. The second type of purification refers to our rehabilitation and to the reestablishment, which springs not solely from below, but also from above. Lifnei Hashem, Rabbeinu Yonah said, means that there's a special mitzvah to repent on Yom Kippur. He we encounter purification as a charge, which entails examining and investigating. Yet Lifnei Hashem is also as an aspiration and a promise that if we are confronted mikol chatuchechem, then God, for His part, will proclaim titaru, you shall be purified. So I think Rav Aaron was very consistent in this distinction and used it very often in terms of the distinction between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah was the day when we had, in his ideal, when we had already corrected all the sins, and therefore we could stand before God as tzaddikim and be inscribed as the Book of Life, some of us. It's a day when we go back to before, to Gan Eden, which is pre-sin, when we're pure as snow, where we don't have any sins. While Yom Kippur is the day of the real world, the day of post-Chet Ha'egel, the day when we have to ask for God's grace, for Rav Chesed, and not just Lo Havai L'Shomrei Mitzvotai. And on Yom Kippur itself, Rav Aaron saw this move from the moral to the religious, from the specific to reconnecting our relationship with God, which we achieve, hopefully, on Ne'ilah. And we can say, Mimamakim Karaticha Hashem, Anani Bamer Chavya, answer us in your loving, in your breath of your embrace of God. Everyone should, I hope everyone is has a meaningful Aseret Yemei Tshuva and a meaningful Yom Kippur. Again, our hearts and our minds are with all those in Israel. Thank you everybody for participating, and have a rest of an easy and meaningful fast. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you so much.
Right.
Any quick questions
or comments?
I wonder whether Rav Aaron was influenced by Rav Huttner, because their ideologies are so very similar.
In certain areas, he was definitely influenced by Rav Huttner. He doesn't quote Rav Huttner a lot in his writings, which is an interesting issue to explore. He didn't quote him a lot in public, Interesting issue, but he definitely was, you know, influenced. He said he was influenced a lot by Rav Huttner, but yeah, it's a good question.
Okay, Rav Nadi, thank you, and thank you, everybody, and really, I know, a great way to spend, you know, the beginning of a Aseret Yemei Teshuva, and I want to thank all our speakers and all of you for coming. The program can only happen because you come, and we look forward to learning with you. We will have most of our shiurim this week. Dr. Shapiro is going to give his class on Monday night, tomorrow night, and Rabbi Shulman will be speaking on Tuesday. Wednesday, this just happened basically Erev Yontev. Benny Gesundheit emailed me. He wants to give a shiur on Sefer Yonah, Hoshiur in memory of his father's yortzeit. That's going to be Wednesday. We haven't set it out yet. That's going to be Wednesday at 1 p.m. I will be giving a shiur Erev Yom Kippur on the Matzor, continuing that 9:15 Friday morning. We look forward to learning with you and, like everybody says, we should have, tomorrow is going to be, I think, a hard day for a lot of people. The whole year's been a hard year, but tomorrow especially. And I know in chat, they're doing special programming. I'm sure in all the schools, I'm sure SAR has lots of special programming. Everybody's doing all the schools, of course. UJA is having a community event tomorrow night, all kinds of events. No, we should, like I say, the prayers of the shofar, their prayers should reach heaven in a positive way. And I want to wish everybody Gmar Chatima Tova, and thank you, everybody. And thank you. And we look forward to learning from you. And David and Olin, thank you again. And all the best, everybody. Have a wonderful
day. Tova.
All good. Okay. Be well, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.